Sunday with Miriam on RTE Radio 1. Sponsored by Travel Department. Discover hundreds of unforgettable destinations with expert local guides.
Tweet at Miriam O'Call.
Writer Anne Tiernan was nominated for the Kate O'Brien Prize for her first novel, The Last Days of Joy. Her second book, The Good Mistress, has just been published. Born in Zambia, Anne grew up in Navan, and she now lives in New Zealand with her Kiwi husband Matt and their three children. Her brother also happens to be the super talented Tommy Tiernan. Good morning, Anne.
Good morning, Miriam.
So lovely you're here, and you're here with your sister Niamh as well. She came with you today, all the Tiernans.
Niamh is outside looking at me, probably laughing at everything I say, so yeah.
So look, tell me first about this trip home. Did you get a good chance to catch up with all your family and friends? I suppose as well as doing the promotional work for the book.
Yeah, I did. Yeah. So a little bit of play, a little bit of work. So a really nice combination. But yeah, I got to see everybody, hang out with some old friends and family, and got to see Tommy in Galway. Yeah. So yeah, it's been really lovely. It's been full on, but lovely.
What do you miss about Ireland, and do you miss Ireland?
I do, and I miss it every day. I've been in New Zealand now for 20 years, and I would say that it's actually getting harder to be away. And I don't know, is that a function of my age? You know, I'm getting older. Everybody I love is getting older. So, yeah, I miss it every day. I miss so much about it. I mean, primarily the people, my family. But I just miss, I don't know, there's just, I miss the buildings. When I'm in Dublin, I love walking around the streets. But New Zealand is fabulous, and it's a brilliant place to bring up kids. But it's just so far away, like you literally couldn't get further.
Now, how did you end up in New Zealand?
Love, I suppose. So I was working in ACC Bank in Dublin, and I started dating this Kiwi guy. And a few weeks after we'd started going out, he said, yeah, my visa's about to expire, so I'm going to head back to New Zealand. Do you want to come? And I had just bought a little flat in Chapelizod, bought myself a little car. And I was 30, and I thought, this is it. This is my life. I'm never going to leave Dublin. I loved it. But I thought, I'll go, you know, just do a bit of travelling, because we did 6 months of travelling, and then, you know, I'll spend a few months in New Zealand. And a few weeks into my 1 year working visa, I discovered I was pregnant. And it just, I think we were so shocked that there was no room in my head to make other decisions. So it was just, let's just stay. And now suddenly that was 20 years ago, and, you know, got the 19-year-old daughter and two other kids. So.
And are your three children full-blown Kiwis, or are they conscious of their Irishness, and who do they support when Ireland's playing the All Blacks?
I'm afraid to say they will always support the All Blacks. If Ireland are playing anybody else, then they'll support Ireland. But yeah, they're full-blown Kiwis, but they are very conscious of Ireland, and they love it here. We brought them back at the end of last year for Christmas, and we did a big trip with them. We brought them to New York, and we brought them to LA, and their favourite part of the trip was Barna in Galway, and they absolutely loved it.
Do they think their Uncle Tommy's funny?
They love him. And I tell you something really funny. In New Zealand, on the school curriculum, they study Derry Girls. My daughter was doing it in school.
Wow.
Yeah. And so she put up her hand and was like, that's my uncle's in that. And nobody believed her. But they think he's brilliant. I mean, I think he's brilliant. So
yeah, he's a comic genius. Lovely guy too. Now, of course, your first book, which came out to such great acclaim, came from your own family story, really. And I spoke to Tommy, your brother, about your mom, her difficulties, I suppose, with alcohol addiction. In the end, she took her own life, which is so sad. And you felt, I think, Anne, that was a story you had to tell. You didn't set out to tell it. Remind me of that.
Yeah, so I started to write the book in 2017, and it was, that stage was 7 years after she died. And I really feel that with mum, I hadn't really grieved her death. So I was obviously living in New Zealand when she died, when I got the call. I was also 9 months pregnant. and I went into labour kind of a few hours afterwards. So gave birth to our third son.
Your Jack?
Our Jack, yeah. I couldn't come home for the funeral, obviously. Had to watch it on Zoom, you know. And so I felt very removed from what had happened. And I think, you know, there was also an emotional distance between myself and Mum anyway growing up, because she had a lot of demons. Yeah, I didn't really process her death, didn't really grieve it. I mean, even though I came back shortly after she died, once my baby was old enough to travel. Anyway, in 2017, I decided, you know, I'd write the book, and I didn't really know what I was going to write about. And anyway, the first page, Joy turns up. She's a suicidal alcoholic. And I thought, oh, OK, well, let's just go with it. So it took me 2 years to write it. And I think it became almost a form of therapy in a way. I know that sounds quite glib, but yeah, I think by the end, the book forced me to put myself in my mum's position. And I think by the end of it, I had a lot more empathy for her and a lot more love for her. So it was a good thing to have done.
Yeah. Was it cathartic? Did you feel it really was that?
Yeah. Yeah, I do. Because it's, you know, I don't suffer happily from depression. I'm, you know, lucky so far I haven't. And it really forces you to go, what would it be like to believe that the world is better, would be better off without you? Because I think that's what she really thought.
And also, you probably, as you say, feel much more sympathy for her now. Because was there a time when you might even have been angry with her?
Oh, God, yeah. I mean, initially, and it sounds so selfish, but, you know, when she took her own life, which is, you know, when I was at 9 months pregnant, yeah, there was a part of me that went, you know, your timing kind of sucked, Mum. But of course, like, as I said, I now understand that she thought she was doing us all a favour. Yeah, so there was definitely anger there. And growing up, you know, I would have felt angry towards her. I would have thought, well, why can't she be more like other mums? Or, but it's funny, I guess now I know that there was a lot of people, a lot of my friends would have been going through the same thing, and maybe we didn't all talk about it.
She must have had lots of great gifts. I mean, we'll mention your dad as well in a minute because I'm conscious of him. But like, I've now met three Tiernans, Tommy, yourself and your sister Niamh here today. Haven't met the brother in New Zealand yet. But you're also talented and you're really gentle and lovely. So she must have had lots of goodness in her. And talent.
She did. And she went to art school for a while and had to leave early. I think maybe because her dad died quite young. So she was very creative. She was a great singer. You'd find little drawings that she'd done all around the house. She'd draw on, you know, pick up books and there was little drawings, or you'd pick up the newspaper and she would have done drawings. Yeah, I feel like there was so much wasted potential there. But that could have been maybe like a lot of women of her generation. Yeah.
Now tell me about your dad, because he's doing great, isn't he?
Dad's great. Dad is, he's a real character, loves to tell stories, loves his pints of Guinness down in the pub. Yeah, he's really good company and he's from a great family in Athlone. And yeah, he's great. He's, in many ways, I think Dad was my rock when I was growing up, because he was always so dependable. And I think if you've got one parent who's maybe not so dependable, and you've got one like him, then it's kind of save you.
Solid and steady.
Solid and steady, Miriam.
Now, listen, tell me about your new book. I loved it, The Good Mistress. Who are the three main protagonists?
Right. So the book follows three women, Juliet, Erica and Maeve, in the immediate aftermath of the death of the man who was married to Erica, was having an affair with Juliet and was a childhood friend of Maeve's.
Rory,
yes. And even though his death is the catalyst, I guess, for the recolliding of their lives, I think the real emotional heart of the book is the relationships between the women. and their relationships with their families. And it deals with a lot of midlife stuff, the challenges around that, ailing parents and teenage children and perimenopause and work stress and all the fun stuff. So, yeah, like I say, Rory is maybe the central figure at the beginning, but I hope that really the relationship and the connection between the women is really the central part of the book.
It absolutely is. And it's based in Ireland, in a town not that dissimilar to Navan.
Ballyboyne.
Where you grew up.
Yeah, it's funny. I was deciding, I was saying to my editor, should I just like call it Navan? Or and they're like, well, if you call it Navan, then you're going to get people going, well, that's not real. That's shop isn't there. Yeah. Or so I have a couple of dear friends, actually, also from Ballyboyne, who came up with the name. That's so, good. Yeah. Yeah.
And who are your early readers like? Does Matt, your husband, read? Who do you trust? Who do you say, have a look at this?
Well, Niamh, my sister, obviously, great. She is, and Matt as well. Although, yeah, Matt, I feel, it just tells me everything is brilliant. So
we love him.
With the Last Days of Joy, Tommy was one of the first readers of that as well. Mm-hmm. So, but again, it's funny when you ask people that you love and who love you, I don't think they'd ever tell you if it's rubbish, would they? They're, so I, you know, my editors will tell me if something's rubbish and needs to go, but I'm lucky to have those people who'll, yeah.
As we come to the end, it's great that you are now a writer, because you wanted to be a writer, and I'm conscious there'll be people listening this morning who feel they have a book in them. So I think Tommy's advice to you in the first book was just write it. So yeah. What would your advice be?
Oh, well, look, absolutely. Look, I was 40 before I started writing. And by the time The Last Days of Joy was published, I was 49. So not a spring chicken. And I had worked in banking, which I was thoroughly unsuited for. And yeah, so it took me a long time to come around to do it. But yeah, Tommy just said, I thought I would have to have some kind of big plan and a book all. But he was just sit down and see what comes. And that's what happened. So, yeah, just if you want to do it, just do it.
You write really beautifully, though. Have you started the next one yet?
I'm trying to find my way into book 3. But yeah, I'm just playing around at the edges at the moment. Yeah.
Well, I really enjoyed it, Anne. It's called The Good Mistress. It's out now. It's published by Hachette. Anne Tiernan, thanks so much for coming in and chatting to me this morning, and safe journey home to New Zealand.
Thank you, Miriam. It's been lovely.
Yeah. Thank you so much, Anne.